In 1994, the University of Tennessee baseball team captured the Southeastern Conference Championship, posting a 24-5 SEC record and a 52-14 overall record. For a second consecutive season, the Vols won the SEC Eastern Division and the SEC Eastern Division Tournament Championship.
Well, I think the thing that's impressive about Tennessee is that we can go anywhere in the country and recruit because we have name recognition.
Kids want to come into a big program like this. Program has a lot of class, has a lot of glamour. I mean, it's on the rise. It's definitely on the rise.
It's very well known.
This is a real team. I never played in a team where you can really say team.
Definitely, when I got here on my recruiting trip, the first thing that came to my mind was first class. Everything's first class. It's known nationwide now. Everybody knows who we are and knows that we're going to come after them if we're playing.
For Tennessee baseball, it didn't look like it could get much better than 1994. For Vol baseball fans, 1994 provided thrill after seemingly unmatched thrill.
Now here's Vieira. Vieira was not a high school All-American. But what's going through his mind? What's going through Vieira's mind is, thanks for giving me this chance. There's youth, he's the man, and the last time Scott Vieira hit with the bases loaded, he hit one over the fence for a three-run single at Georgia. Bases loaded, the pitch. Hit high in the air! Did he break center field? It's going to go to the wall! It's over the fence! It's a grand slam! And he deserves it! There is justice in the world! Scott Vieira has homered for Tennessee! A slammer! And Tennessee beats Clemson 5-1!
'95 surely couldn't be the season for Tennessee that '94 was. Surely it couldn't be. But Rod Delmonico's '95 Diamond Vols had other ideas. They had something very special as a team. Something that would carry them all the way to Omaha.
Well, our goal is this year is like it will be every year as long as this staff is here, and that's to win the national championship and go to Omaha. We came up a day short last year as Arizona State beat us in the last day to go to Omaha, but that's our goal. Of course, we want to win the Southeastern Conference Championship every year and go to a regional. And of course, if you do those things, that gives you an opportunity to go to Omaha.
We want to win a national championship, you know. We want to win the SECs, we want to win a regional, we want to not only go to the World Series, we want to win the thing.
This team's going well. Coaches, you know, harp the whole year, national championship, getting to Omaha. I think each year the team has done something a little bit different, won the SEC. And I think now it's the turn to go to Omaha and contend for a national title.
The team goals, we have a lot of team goals, but the one goal is to get to the College World Series. And when we get there, we want to win the national championship. We want to be national champions. And that's been our goal as far as I know ever since I've been here. And so I don't think that's changed, and you know, we've got a lot of other little goals. We got personal goals, and we also got other team goals as far as just going step by step, and, you know, in the SEC, the regionals, and keep on going.
As far as the team goes, you know, I don't think that anybody on the team, I think I can speak for everybody on the team when I say that we're not going to settle for anything less than Omaha, you know. And as far as personally, you know, just to go out there and win every game that I pitch. You know, I'm not going to have a set number. I'm going to win 20 games this year. I'm going to win 15 like last year. But every time I go out to have the same goal in mind, that's to win the game.
We hope to win a national championship. I think we've set our sights too low in the past couple of years. And now if we set it on not just getting to Omaha, but to winning the national championship, I think if we really keep that in mind the whole season, we'll have a chance to get there.
win it all. Basically, it's just, you know, we don't want, right now, we don't want to stop anything short and taking the whole thing.
There was a lot to replace for Tennessee in 1995. A lot of key people gone and a lot of firepower lost. The Vols had to replace five everyday players, and they were all all-star caliber. It took a while to fill the holes. Senior Matt Whitley moved to short, while junior Ed Lewis went to second. The Whitley-Lewis combo gave Tennessee an unlikely double play combination that would prove not only effective, but productive. Their magic came through hard work.
Everybody knows that when we go out on the field, we're going to win.
Senior Bryce Christensen moved from center field to left field, opening up a slot for transfer Scott Schreffel. Schreffel came to UT with reputation of being a do-it-all player. But little did anyone imagine what all he would wind up doing for the men in orange and white. The Vols catchers would come to typify the year. Veteran Scott Vieira seemed to be the easy answer behind the plate, but his versatility led him to third base, a position he had never played before. Newcomer Ray Espinosa only expected to become a spot player and ended up as Tennessee's starting catcher. Espinosa would prove to be a splendid, if unspectacular, star. As for pitching, Ryan Myers was ready to take his place as the number two starter for Tennessee behind R.A. Dickey. Myers was ready, but who was ready to be number three? A good question, which seemingly there were different answers for every weekend. In the early season, Coach Delmonico would be forced to experiment a great deal, and Tennessee would be forced to lean on their All-American, Todd Helton. Helton's relief pitching was called on numerous times early, and his bat and glove at first base were needed even more. It was never more evident than in the first SEC series of the year against nationally ranked Arkansas.
It's amazing to see the guys, you know, the guys I'm playing with, you know, in high school I read about, you know, R.A. Dickey and Todd Helton. And now, you know, getting to know them, spend time with them, and playing with them, it's just, you know, unbelievable seeing how these guys work.
It's my privilege for me to play in the team where I have these two great ball players. Just not all talent-wise, but just the way that they act, the way they act around people and the way they work.
They both have a lot of talent. They both have a lot of heart. When the game's on the line, whether we're on defense, R.A. wants the ball, whether we're on offense, Todd wants to be up at the plate.
With R.A., I think he's a bulldog. He loves being out there. He wants the ball in the bottom of the ninth, you know.
I think a lot of the reason that I'm successful, and I know a lot of reason that Todd's successful, is that we're both really, really competitive. You know, in inner squad, I remember him getting up against me and me just wanting to strike him out every single time, you know. And that's part of baseball, and that's what makes both of us good players, is the fact that we're so competitive. And, you know, when I'm out there on the mound, I don't want anybody to get a hit. I don't want anybody to reach base. If I do, I feel like I failed in a certain sense.
It's just so dominating for some teams that a lot of teams will break down when he's there. And the same thing with R.A., you know. R.A. goes out, maybe has a bad game one day, but still, just him being out there, their team thinking, geez, we got to face R.A. Dickey today. And then when they're on, you know, and Dickey's throwing well and Helton's hitting well, then it's just, you know, basically it's over for the other team.
Going inside is how I pitch, you know. I'm the inner half of the plate's my plate, and if you get near, you might get hit. So they go up there thinking that. You know, they're going to see that if you step too close to the plate, there's a chance you're going to get one kneecap. So that's just how it is.
After R.A. Dickey opened the series with a three-hit shutout, Helton personally won game two. The junior from Knoxville picked up the win in relief while tying a school record with three home runs in the game.
Here's the pitch. Helton ropes it to deep, deep right field. Adios! Todd Helton will touch each and every one of the four bags. That's home run number five, RBI number 25. For number three, Todd Helton. Tennessee 1, Arkansas nothing.
The Vols would go on to sweep that series, which would prove important as Tennessee won just two SEC games over the course of the next 2 weeks. the Big Orange stood 5-4 in the conference as they headed to Kentucky. Georgia came to Knoxville next, and another sweep followed. The win streak grew, and so did the Helton legend. His arm provided Tennessee with a complete game victory on Sunday. Todd's bat helped Tennessee get the other two.
His next run batted in will be his 200th. The pitch. Helton ropes it to deep right field. If it stays fair, it's a home run. It is. Bimble! Adios! Todd Helton has just hit home run number 13. Matt Whitley coming to touch. Scott Treffel on his way to the dish. And here comes number 3, Todd Helton. Career home run number 31. RBI 200, 201, and 202. Tennessee 3, Georgia nothing.
Tennessee ran off 10 straight victories before South Carolina snapped the string. But the Vols came back to win that series as well, with freshman pitcher John Alkire twirling a complete game beauty in Game 3.
0-2 to Doerr, two outs, nobody aboard here in the top of the second. Second? What am I talking about? The pitch, right down the middle. What's Doerr doing? He's looking at strike 3. Strikeout number 9 for John Alkire. They go in order in the seventh, the South Carolina game.
The final SEC weekend provided a trip to Gainesville and a rare Saturday doubleheader against Florida. It provided the most unlikely comeback of the year. The Gators had won Game 1 and had Game 2 salted with a 4-0 lead in the eighth. Tennessee counted for two in the top of the eighth and won a miraculous victory in the ninth. The win gave Tennessee the Eastern Division title for the third year in a row. Now it was time to go for a second straight Southeastern Conference crown.
I believe our team is very hardworking.
I think the work ethic's good. You never want to be satisfied as a coach with the work ethic, because once you're satisfied, then your team's going to get a little lax. But it's good. I think we go out on a daily basis, and I think we work hard as a team. We set goals each day to get better as a team. And if you don't want to walk up field every day a better baseball player, you're not going to get better. This group that I'm working with this year are as good a kids, as hardworking a kids that I've been around.
The SEC East Tournament at Knoxville. To have any chance at winning the overall title, Tennessee would have to win their third consecutive Eastern Division tourney. And after losing the opener to Vanderbilt, that didn't look likely. Tennessee would have to win 5 straight games to pull it off. But they did. Amazing. First, Ryan Myers shut out South Carolina 8-0. Next, Treffel blanked Georgia 11-0. Vanderbilt was eliminated 4-3 as Scott Vieira hit another huge home run. And on Sunday, Tennessee took out upstart Kentucky twice.
First and second, two down. The hitter is Andy McCord, 1 out of 3. Outside. Now racing back to the bullpen, Brad Green. It's getting a little tense. The pitch. Hit on the ground to second. Lewis flips to second. Out number 3! And Tennessee has come all the way back from the loser's bracket to win 5 in a row and win their third straight Eastern Division title, their third straight Eastern Division tournament title, and their second straight Southeastern Conference championship. The 1995 SEC champions, the Tennessee Volunteers.
The drama of the tournament and another SEC title overshadowed a wonderful individual accomplishment. Vols second baseman Ed Lewis hit better than 400 in the tourney to finish with an average of over 400 for the Southeastern Conference season. For league play, no other SEC player hit better than Ed Lewis. The steady Lewis didn't have the monster numbers that Helton did, and maybe wasn't as dramatic as Vieira or Schreffel. But in league play, Ed Lewis was the best hitter in the best conference in America. And he was a big reason why Tennessee was the number one seed in the Mideast Regional for the third year in a row. The Mideast Regional, one of the nation's toughest. Georgia Tech, Cal, and Pitt, three respected powers. Oklahoma State, one of the country's perennial powers. And Tennessee's first-round opponent, the Citadel, a team that went to the College World Series just 5 years ago. Tennessee would have no first-round bye. It would be yeoman's work to beat the Bulldogs. R.A. Dickey emerged from a slump to provide the gritty innings, and Scott Vieira made the unlikely play that turned Tennessee's 5-2 win.
Batters off with a strike. Scott Vieira breaks for home. The slow delivery gets away from the catcher. He's stalled home.
Georgia Tech would be next, and again it was Myers who turned the trick, pitching into the ninth to help Tennessee get a 6-4 win. That set up the matchup, Tennessee against Oklahoma State. The mighty Cowboys, the nation's most power-laden team, were shown power by Tennessee early on, and it came in a mighty burst from right fielder Lance Smith. Then Scott Schreffel added a grand slam. Tennessee would expand the lead to 11-3 before the wheels came off the wagon in the eighth. Schreffel ran out of gas on the mound, and the Cowboys pulled to within one at 11-10. Tennessee looked into their bullpen and found center fielder Scott Schreffel, who came back into the game to save his own 14-10 win. Tennessee had reached the regional final, one win from Omaha, but it would take another win over Oklahoma State to get there. The game turned out to be a classic. The Vols tallied a run early, but wasted several opportunities to expand that lead. Oklahoma State scored in the eighth to tie it at one. It remained that way until the 11th, when Tennessee pushed across two runs.
Here's Schreffel, who's driven in Tennessee's only run. He's 2 for 4, two doubles and an RBI. He's got to look for something to drive on the first pitch.
Sure enough.
Inside, gets away! Here comes Christensen, he'll score! Everybody moves up! And it's 2-1! It's 2-1!
It was time to finish it, and R.A. Dickey was still in the game. The sophomore All-American showed why he was Tennessee's all-time leading winner with incredible courage, a super changeup, and finally, great defense behind him.
McNamara at first, one down. Fastball hit to Helton. Steps on the bag for one. Throw to second. He came off the bag. He's tagged up. He's tagged up. He's tagged up.
Unbelievable.
He's tagged up. The team of destiny is on their way to the Field of Dreams. Touch that bag, Mom. We're going to Omaha. Unbelievable. They won it! And the Tennessee players celebrating on the field.
Look at R.A. Dickey hug.
Dickey goes 11 innings. He went 11 innings for the win. Unbelievable. Tennessee beats Oklahoma State 3-1. And the Vols are going to Omaha for the first time in 44 years. Incredible.
For only the second time in school history, Tennessee was going to the College World Series in Omaha. Everything was new for Tennessee, being among the nation's elite in college baseball. All of the attention and hype that comes with being a College World Series participant and having to attend all of the National Player of the Year banquets. Todd Helton raked in the awards before play even began, including the prestigious Dick Houser Trophy. It was surprising to no fan from Tennessee, since Helton was the school's all-time leader in home runs batted in, doubles, hits, saves, and so many other statistical categories too numerous to name.
But I like to be respected when I come to the plate.
I'm Todd Helton, you know, don't mess with me.
And I like to, you know, kind of be feared.
When I met him, I thought he was real cocky. And I still think that. But,
what's your pitching style?
Sort of like Roger Clemens, sort of just throw the heat at them and they can't touch it.
Just, he loves the game. He loves being out there and messing around, and, you know, it's just like he's a little kid. It's like he's a little kid every day, like Little League, you know, he just loves being out there.
Well, the first thing I admired about him when I first met him was that he was so approachable. He can help you out, you know. You watch him, he's such a great player and such a nice guy, and he's a great guy to be around. And you can learn a lot from playing with a guy that's got physical abilities such as his.
Well, I kind of like it. I mean, it's good to stand out. I might not get some of the pitches I want, but I like to be respected when I come to the plate, and I like to, you know, kind of be feared. I want to go up there, and they expect me to hit the ball hard, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, my God.
I just like to win, and when the game gets close, I just get real excited. I don't know, some button clicks on, and I just like to play when it gets close.
At least the first foe in Omaha would be familiar in these highly charged surroundings. Tennessee would face Clemson in Game 4 of the College World Series. The Tigers had beaten Tennessee narrowly in two early season meetings, but Scott Schreffel gave the Diamond Vols the early impetus to make sure it didn't happen again.
Something you don't see every day, the 1-2. Schreffel ropes it high and deep to left center. Going back, Burnham looking up. Adios! Scott Schreffel will touch them all. That is a solo homer, and Tennessee leads Clemson 1-0.
Todd Helton painted a masterpiece with a complete Game 4 hitter, and Tennessee tamed the Tigers 3-1. The Vols had won their first College World Series game since 1951. Next came the Titans of Cal State Fullerton, the eventual national champions. Tennessee fell to Cal State 11-1 on a day where everything seemed to go wrong. The Big Orange faced an elimination game against Stanford. Scott Schreffel and Ryan Myers shined again. Myers threw a complete Game 6 hitter, baffling the Cardinal with his change of pace. Schreffel hit a pair of home runs, giving him 3 for the College World Series, a feat that would earn him a spot on the all-tournament team. The Big Orange had made the bracket final and earned a rematch with Cal State Fullerton. But on this day, Tennessee was greeted with 50-degree temperatures and a wind chill in the mid-30s. It was the day the Big Orange magic finally ran out. The season for the Volunteers ended June 8th with Tennessee going 2-2 and finishing tied for third at the College World Series. It was tough to see it end, but wonderful to think back on what the year had brought.
You guys have set a standard for this program that every team from here on out is going to try to accomplish what you guys accomplish. And not so much on the field. You guys pulled together as a team more so than any ball club I've ever been associated with. So when you leave here, you hold your heads high. Outstanding club. Proud of all of you.
This might not have been Rod Delmonico's most talented team, but it was his toughest. And with the help of assistants Larry Simcox and Dave Serrano, Delmonico molded this team into a champion. 1995 will be forever remembered in Big Orange Country as the year a team of destiny went to their field of dreams. And Tennessee baseball arrived at a level where it's destined to stay as one of the nation's elite programs in college baseball.